For the Christian, there is only one source of peace. Nothing else satisfies. I've tried it. I tried it. Doesn't work. When I was a young man and I was 18 years old, I was sick of my daddy telling me what to do. I had went to his tobacco patch for the last time. And I went off and did something that was going to set me free. Dumbest thing I ever did. I joined the Army.
Now, wait a minute.
I left. I got away from home. I jumped out of my daddy's frying pan into my drill instructor's frying pan. It's a whole lot better at home where I was. But I wanted to be free. And I wanted to try different things that I thought a change could help me and would help me. That's the way the Christian is. When a Christian falls away for whatever reason, when a Christian falls away from the church, and by the way, I'm going to tell you something now. We need to really pray for some of our people that has been in our church. We got a lot of people in our church right now that has fallen away in the last 6 months. They got their little silly reasons for falling away. A lot of it they blamed the pastor on for some of his preaching. A lot of it, they get their eyes set on other things. They get wrapped up in other stuff and situations. And by the way, they're still our Christian brothers and sisters, but they're absent from us and our fellowship. And we need to really pray for some of them. And there's a bunch of them too. And not just three or four of them. There's a good many of them. But I can tell you something. Wherever they are this morning, unless they're in another church, wherever they are this morning, something down inside of them, deep down, is calling and reminding them something's missing, something's wrong. You are not in fellowship with the church. You are not in fellowship with Christ. You are not in fellowship with the Father. And wherever they are this morning, whatever they're trying and whatever they're doing is not going to fulfill them. I'm not even going to speculate where they may be. But whatever they're doing right now, they are completely and fully conscious that their brothers and sisters are gathered over at 1002 Apple Yard Drive and they're missing. And they're missing out. Let's don't pray that they'll quickly be restored. Let's pray that God will teach them something through this and help them as He restores them back into fellowship. How many of you ever have just dogged off on church on Sunday morning? Just absolutely got up, wasn't sick, didn't have anything to do, wasn't overly tired. You just said, I just ain't going to church today. I just ain't going today. I might go fishing today. I may go to the beach. Guess what? Wherever you are, at 11 a.m., your mind starts thinking, don't it? Like the writer says here, as I lay upon my bed and begin to think about the miracles that you did in my life. In other words, you know something's not right in your life. And I'll tell you what, if you're like me, you can't hardly wait to get back to church Sunday morning to be restored and be back in fellowship. And that's the way the Holy Spirit works in us. That's the way God works. Now, a person that isn't saved can pop in and out of church anytime they want to. It's just an experience for them. They enjoy the singing. They enjoy the hallelujah, praise the Lord. I'm going to get healed this morning. God's going to bless me. I ain't going to have to pay the light bill next month because God's word says He's going to take care of me. All kind of reasons why a non-Christian can come to church, and they do. They'll pop in and out occasionally, and then they'll pop out of this church and over to another one in different situations. And I got to tell you, the Holy Spirit isn't in them, so they're not... they're not feeling lonely and they're not feeling broken and nothing, they don't experience broken fellowship. But the Christian, when the Christian is in a traumatic relationship or broken fellowship with God, it bothers them. It does me. And it bothers, and everyone here knows it. Everybody here in this church has been there, done that, and got a t-shirt. And so we understand. So our desire is that we become reunited. So we read here and continue on. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. It's restoration. If you've become complacent, you can probably identify with Psalms, if you desire restoration, you can identify with 1 Chronicles chapter 16. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 8 through 12. How do we restore that broken relationship? How do we do that? Listen how this is done. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. In other words, talk about what God has done for you. Experience it and live it and relive it and recall the miracles and all the deeds that He's done for you. Sing unto Him. Sing songs unto Him. Talk ye of all His wondrous works. Experience God. Sing songs and songs. A few weeks ago, Brother Leroy and Sister Joyce's daughter came and sang a song for us. And the name of that song is, I Am Not Ashamed of the Gospel. You know what? I got hung up on that song for about 2 weeks. As soon as I left church that day, I had that song on my lips. I was singing it, humming it, whistling it. All the next week, everywhere I went, I had that song on my lips. I was singing it. And it was restored my heart. It's one of those things that when you restore it and when you're back in fellowship with God, you want to sing song and you want to pray and you want to remember the miracles that He's done for you and all the situations that He's changed your life. Glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. I deal with brokenhearted people all the time. All the time. I deal with people that's just calling out for help, crying out for help. Can't understand why they're so sick and in and out of the hospital. And why they're always in some kind of traumatic situation. And I know sometimes I have to try to tell them and explain it. Sometimes I don't, because I know that some people that I do know, they don't want to hear it. People have a tendency of rejecting the truth. Now this is not to say that everybody that's sick is because of a broken fellowship with God. That's not true at all. But I know in my mind, that a lot of times people going through really traumatic, stressful situations, sickness and illness and heartbreak, and the reason simply is because they're not seeking after God with their whole heart. You know why I know that? Because the Bible says that. The Bible says that if you belong to me, God says, I'll chasten you. I'll chasten you. Did you know that God's children, if you are in a broken relationship, sinful or complacency, that God's going to take you out behind the woodshed once in a while? And there's going to be some bloodshed once in a while. That's not really meant to be humorous, but it is humorous. But I'm telling you, it's deadly, deadly stuff. When you walk away from your Heavenly Father, you sin and you have a broken relationship with your Heavenly Father. He will restore you. You may not like the consequences. What's the worst part for me is to see this happening and know that it's happening and try to warn somebody and they reject it. Don't want to hear it. And, you know, the only thing I can do then is say, well, if you want to suffer, keep on suffering. There was a young man that was in a bad car wreck a few years ago. And someone that I knew called me and asked me if I'd go visit him in the hospital. And I said, okay. I didn't know the man. They told me a little bit about his background. They told me that he was he heavy in the drugs, had alcohol, he was a partier, he had abandoned his wife and children. His life was a total wreck. And they asked me to go visit him. I didn't know him. I didn't know what to say to the man, except to give him the gospel. And I went up there to PMH, and I got out of my car, and I was walking to the door. And I kept asking God, what do I say here? What do you want me to say? What can I do here? And God told me very plainly. He said, you go up there and tell that young man that if he doesn't change his life and turn back to me, he's going to die. This young man had some serious surgery coming up the next day. And I mulled over this as I walked to the door. I said, now, you want me to go and talk to a total stranger and walk in and tell that man what you just told me? Yes. That's all I want you to tell him. I had to convince myself that this was God speaking to me all the way up to that room. When I got into that room, I walked in and I did just what God told me to do. I introduced him and myself and I told him who I was. A lot of people think this might be cold and indifferent. But I told him who I was and that I just simply, God sent me up here to give you a message. And the message from God is this, if you don't change your life, you're going to die. And he was laying on his bed, and the tears started running down the side of his face. I knew right then that God had given him the right message. And I asked him if I could pray with him, and he said, yeah, and I prayed with him, and I turned around and left. I never heard a word from the man again. No contact. Don't know whether he changed his life. I have no idea if he died. I don't know. And I think God put it, that fixed it that way for me. But I had to deliver that message to that young man. And I have been called on to deliver similar messages before. Folks, I want to tell you something. And a lot of our brothers and sisters right now today is either experiencing that or they're on the brink of experiencing that. They're on the brink of being where David was here. They're right on the brink of it if they're not already there. Listen to me, Christian. Stay faithful, honest, and true to God. Now, if the preacher says something up here that you don't like or you don't agree with or you want to put it all out on the email or whatever you want to do, you feel free to do so. But be faithful to God. Do not break fellowship with the church. Do not break fellowship with God. If you can't get along with the preacher, find you another church next week. Not next month, but next week. Do not just walk away and walk away from God and have your fellowship with God broken. If you walk away from me, that don't count for anything. If you walk away from me, that counts for absolutely nothing. I've had hundreds walk away from me before. That counts for absolutely nothing. But when you walk away from your church, and I'm talking about the Church International, when you walk away from God, you're in serious trouble because you've broken relationship to God. Do not break relationship with God. Let's sum this up with one more song. If you want to turn over to Psalms 51, this is one you might want to take some time to study. Psalms 51. Again, this is a psalm of broken-hearted David who had lost his fellowship. And he says here in Psalms 51, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy love kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice." You get that part? "Hide thy face from my sin and blot out all mine iniquity. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." You get that part? "Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation, of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted into thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering." Here's what God wants from you right here in verse 17. "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." Father, in the name of Jesus today, we come with open hearts and open minds. And Lord, I pray that you have spoken to us today and that you will continue to remind us through your Holy Spirit that this walk that we take through life is not about us. It's not about our feelings or our anger, or our emotions, or how we feel. It's all about honoring you with a broken and contrite heart. And Lord, when we do that, when we do that, we understand that there's no room in our heart for egos or for pride or complaining of hurt feelings. God, we expect to be hurt. God, everything we do, help us to understand it's for you, for your honor, and for your glory. And it's not about us. In the name of Jesus, we do pray this morning. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Say hello to your brothers and sisters.